ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16, entitled Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters. Text number 24 and 25, since as 24 doesn't have a purport. Esho Ashvamedan Shatam Ajahara. Sarasvati Pradurabhavi Yatraha Aharshidyasya Hayam Purandaraha Shatakratus Charame Vartamane Esho Ashvamedan Shatam Ajahara Sarasvati Pradurbhavi Yatra Harshidyasya Hayam Purandaraha Shatakratus Charame Vartamane Esho Ashvamedan Shatam Ajahara Sarasvati Pradurbhavi Sarasvati Pradurabhavi Yatra Aharshidyasya Hayam Purandaraha Shatakratus Charame Vartamane. Please repeat. Eshaha. This king. Ashvamedhan. Sacrifice is known as Ashvamedha. Is the microphone on? Thanks, Rupa. Shatam? 100. Shatam 100. Ajahara will perform. Saraswati, the river of the name Saraswati, Pradura Bhavi, became manifest. Yatra, where? Aharshit will steal. Yasya, whose? Hayam, horse. Purandaraha, the Lord Indra. Shatakratu, who performed 100 sacrifices. Charame, while the last sacrifice. Vartamane, is occurring. Translation: as the source of the river Saraswati, at the source of the river Saraswati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Ashwamedha. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king Indra will steal the sacrificial horse. Text number 25. Esha sva sadmo pavane samitya sanat kumaram bhagavantam ekam aradhya bhaktya la bhatam malam taj jnanam yato brahma param vidanti. Thanks for reading. Translation: this king Prithu will meet Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras, in the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive the instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. Purport: the word Vedanti refers to one who knows something or enjoys something. When a person is properly instructed by a spiritual master and understands transcendental bliss, he enjoys life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.54, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati. When one attains to the Brahman platform, he neither hankers nor laments. He actually partakes of transcendental, blissful enjoyment. Although King Prithu was an incarnation of Vishnu, he nonetheless taught the people in his kingdom to take instructions from a spiritual master who represents the disciplic succession. Thus, one can become fortunate and enjoy a blissful life even within this material world. In this verse, the verb Vedanti is sometimes taken to mean understanding, quote-unquote understanding. Thus, when a person understands Brahman, or the supreme source of everything, he enjoys a blissful life. Text 24, translation again. At the source of the river Saraswati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Ashwamedha. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king Indra will steal the sacrificial horse. Om Gyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Rakshomadam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the origin of all cheating sannyasis and gurus is in this verse. It is in today's verse. So here we are seeing that King Prithu is being praised by the professional reciters. And the professional reciters are able to predict the future. So they are able to predict two very important events. So number one is they are predicting the Ashwamedha Yajna, or the 100 horse sacrifices, or shall we say, as we'll see, 99 hot sacrifices which do take place. And number two, they are able to predict the King Prithu being instructed by Sanat Kumar, who is one of the four Kumaras. So that was the potency of the Brahmanas, whereby they had the ability and the power to make such predictions. And in today's day and age, we do not find such potent Brahmanas. Even many astrologers are unable to accurately predict the future. And here, professional reciters are glorifying King Prithu and predicting the future. And they predicted that he will perform the Ashwamedha Yajna, which is 100 horse sacrifices. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has banned the horse sacrifices. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was having a conversation with Chand Kazi. And in one of the points, Chand Kazi said that, "What's wrong in eating cow flesh? Because it is mentioned in the Vedic scriptures that one can perform cow sacrifice." Then Lord Chaitanya, he clarified that in the Vedic scriptures, yes, cow sacrifice is mentioned, but that was mentioned to the arrangement was where an old cow was brought to the sacrificial arena and was sacrificed for the purposes of the Brahmanas to be able to chant, to test the mantras. And if they were able to successfully invoke the mantras, then the cow would get a new life or become a human being. And then he mentioned that all these sacrifices are banned in the age of Kali. And here, Prithu Maharaj, back in the days of yore, he is performing the Ashwamedha Yajna. And as I opened the lecture by saying that this verse is the origin of all cheating sannyasis. So the cheating sannyasis and gurus and charlatans have originated from this, from here on. So what happened was, as we will hear in the next chapter and the chapters thereon, that Prithu Maharaj was performing this sacrifice, this Ashwamedha Yajna, and in this Ashwamedha Yajna, great personalities appeared. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, appeared. Lord Brahma was there. Lord Shiva was there. And all the demigods, they came from all over the universe to this sacrifice for the Ashwamedha Yajna. So, Prithu Maharaj was performing them one after the other. So there's 100. And he reached 99. So he was performing sacrifice number 99. And there was one horse left in the arena which was to be sacrificed. And Indra, he got jealous and envious of Prithu, because if he were to perform the 100 horse sacrifices, he would effectively take over his position. And he would possess unsurpassed opulences. So then Indra, he decided to disrupt the sacrifice. And he came to the sacrifice, he was invisible, and he stole the horse. Because if there's no horse, he cannot perform the sacrifice. So he stole the horse and ran away with it. Then the great sage Atri, he saw Indra running away with the horse in the skies. And when he saw Indra with the horse, he immediately understood what has happened. So Atri went to the sacrifice and he told Prithu's son that Indra has stolen the horse and you should kill him. So Atri decided Prithu's son decided to follow Atri's instructions, and he pursued Indra. And when he saw Indra, Indra was dressed up as a sannyasi. So he had matted hair and his body was covered with ashes. So he was dressed up as a sannyasi and he was stealing, taking away, walking, not, he was going away with the horse. So when Prithu's son saw that, he saw Indra dressed up as a saintly person, he decided not to kill him and he went back. So then Atri went there and said, no, you should kill him because he is performing an irreligious activity. So then Prithu's son again pursued Indra, and he was about to release his arrows, and then Indra immediately gave up the dress of a sannyasi and he released the horse and disappeared. So the horse was brought back to the sacrifice and the sacrifice resumed, but Indra did not give up. So what he did was, because he's a very powerful personality and in charge of all the clouds, he with the clouds, he totally covered the sun over the sacrificial arena, and the entire sacrificial arena became very dark. It became pitch dark. So he came there and stole the horse again. This time the horse was shackled to the arena with golden chains and so on and so forth. But he stole the horse again. Again, Atri saw what's happening. He told Prithu's son, kill him. This is, you know, two times now. So he pursued him, and this time again, as before, he was dressed up as a sannyasi and he didn't decide to kill him. So Atri went back and said, no, you gotta kill him. So Prithu's son again went there about to release his arrows, and again Indra, he vanished and left the horse, gave up his clothes. So the horse was brought back, and Prithu Maharaj understood what was going on, and he decided to kill Indra, because Indra was he was a great personality, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Yadyad acharati shrestas." Whatever a great man does, common men follow. So Prithu Maharaj knew that from now on, because Indra is a great personality, there will be charlatans and, you know, cheating sannyasis, etc., gurus. And he decided to kill Indra for this offense. But the brahmanas who were executing the sacrifice, they stopped him and said, because you're doing the sacrifice, you cannot kill, and you cannot sacrifice anybody else. You cannot kill Indra, because you're supposed, it will nullify the effects of the sacrifice. So they said, what we will do instead is we will summon Indra with the power of our mantras and sacrifice him in the, offer him as oblations into the sacrificial fire. So that was the plan. Prithu gave his blessings, and as they were invoking the mantras, Brahma was present in that arena. So he intervened and said, hang on a second, it's not a good idea. So he told Prithu Maharaj, okay, you have done 99 sacrifices, that's enough. Take it as the will of providence, you cannot do 100, and you're a devotee, so you don't need to do this in one sense. So you just perform the, just have peace with it, more or less, that's what he said. Just make peace with it. And that's what indeed happened. So here we can see that the origins of charlatan gurus, and they are so prominent in today's day and age. On Facebook, there's one guru who's doing the rounds. He's a very, very funny but charismatic personality. Hare Krishna. So, I can't remember his name, but he just says anything which comes in his mind. Some Swami, Paramananda, this and that. Whatever comes in his mind, he just says it, and it doesn't make any sense. And as he speaks something, his disciples or followers are beating drums in the background. Have you seen that? The guru on Facebook is doing the rounds. So they beat the drums and kartals and other musical instruments when he makes a point. But it doesn't make any sense at all. But people are you know, literally they're worshipping them. So there's plenty of those in Kali Yuga, right? And here, in the next verse, we see that Prithu Maharaj, he is accepting Sanat Kumar as his spiritual master. So the king is setting the example of accepting a spiritual master. And even Krishna, we see Krishna in his pastimes, he accepted Sandipani Muni as his spiritual master. Because accepting a spiritual master is very, very important in one's life. We see that people, they have coaches, right? A lot of people, they'll keep a coach in their life to guide them to attain success in a certain activity. Like some people will have a business coach. If somebody is a businessman, then they'll hire a business coach to guide them how to go about their business activities so they can be successful. Some people have, if you are into tennis, people have a coach, right? In sports, people have a coach. Even life coaches are very popular. And then you have financial advisors. So the principle of taking guidance is always there, right? Whether it's in material life, and the same applies in spiritual life also. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So he says, just accept a spiritual master, learn from him, inquire submissively, render service unto him, and learn from such a person. So a spiritual master is also required in one's life, because a spiritual master can guide one towards Krishna, which is the prime goal of one's life. So in Kali Yuga, there's so many fake gurus out there. There's dime and dozen of gurus, and why they want to be fake gurus? Because it's very it's an easy living, right? So you know, we might be a bit of a struggle in the corporate world, or it's generally a struggle to make money, right? To make money, one has to endeavor so much, go out there, swim with the sharks, do different things, whether one is running a business or doing a job. So these people want an easy way out. And they know people in general, when someone takes to religion, they naturally become submissive, because that is one of the qualifications, right? If one wants to learn something, then one has to be submissive. In education, one has to be submissive if one has to learn something. So people come to religion, naturally they are submissive, they want to learn, and they are in awe and reverence of saintly people, of the church or the... But they, because they want an easy way out, they take advantage of that. And they take advantage of that, and they dress up as priests, as gurus, as very respectable senior people, saintly people, but they are not following the Shastra. So the qualifications of a guru, one of the qualifications of a guru is that they have to be very conversant with the scriptures. And in our context with the Vedic texts, they have to be very conversant. There's that verse, Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi. Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi Shudra Kene Nai Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hai. So it doesn't matter whether a person is a Vipra, in other words, a learned scholar, is born in a lower family, or in the renounced order of life. But the main qualification is they should know the science of Krishna, right? So they have to be, a spiritual master or guru has to be very conversant in the science of Krishna. So that's one of the qualifications of a spiritual master. And then they also have to understand that they are a servant of God, that they're not God. You know, Prabhupada said so many times, I'm not God, I'm a servant of God. And someone who says that they're God, they're actually a dog. They're actually a dog. So a spiritual master cannot think they are God just because they are receiving all the worship and the awe and reverence from their disciples. They cannot think that they are God. But unfortunately, sometimes it gets to their head with all the reverence and all the their position and the worship they receive. Sometimes it gets to their head. And ISKCON also, we see that now it's not like before. When Prabhupada left, the gurus, they were receiving such a high level of worship, and it got to their head, and many of them fell down from their position. So, and that's one reason also why such high level of worship is not offered as a general rule. So, as a safety measure. So, a guru has to think that they are a servant of God. They're not their God themselves. And they have to be in full control of their senses. Right? So that's, in other words, they have to have a very high character. They have to have a very, very high character where they are living the talk. They're living the philosophy. It's not only giving lectures, but they are actually living the books. So it is said there is the book Bhagavat and there is the person Bhagavat, right? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the second chapter of the first canto, there is the mention of the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So the book Bhagavat is the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. And the person Bhagavat is somebody who is living the book Bhagavat. So they are a living manifestation of the book. And also they have to be a genuine guru. So what does it mean to be a genuine guru? Sorry?
Servant of.
Servant, yeah.
I'm
sorry? Yes, in other words, they have to come in the disciplic succession. Thank you. So, follow in the line of the previous, they have to come in the line of the disciplic succession and follow the previous acharya. So that's one of the other qualifications to being a guru. And here also we are seeing, Prabhupada, he mentioned in the purport, that a guru has to be in the disciplic succession. So these are one of the qualities or the qualifications to be a spiritual master. So in ISKCON we have that benefit that our gurus are coming in the line of they're in the disciplic succession. So we can approach any one of them and be rest assured we will get the benefit and the right instructions. So here we're seeing King Prithu is taking instructions and setting an example. So one of the main qualifications of a king, or one of the main duties of a king, is to propagate God consciousness in their kingdom. Right? That's one of the main duties of the government or the executive head. So the executive head of various countries, their main job is to ensure that people are becoming Krishna conscious, or the principles of Krishna consciousness are being propagated very widely amongst their many other duties. This is their primary duty. And with the lack of that, and the reason for that is because the prime goal of life is what? Prema Pumarto Mahan. The prime goal of life, or the goal, the prayojana, is to develop love for God. To develop love for God is the prime purpose of life, prema pumartha mahan. And the royal order, the kshatriyas, are meant to facilitate that. That's their job. So the way they do it is they have there is the brahminical body, or the, in modern terms, you can call the state and the church. So the brahminical body, they sit next to the state and they advise them. So they're acting in an advisory capacity. The church or the priests are acting in an advisory capacity, and they advise the king how to govern their subjects. So that's the arrangement. And we also see that in ancient times, there was a very close connection between the ruling class and the Brahminical class. So the Brahminical class would not be involved in politics. Their job was simply to advise. So they were as the advisors. And the king naturally had to be very Krishna conscious. Otherwise they cannot fulfill their role if they're not Krishna conscious. And we see even Krishna, he wanted Maharaj Yudhishthir to be the king, because Maharaj Yudhishthir is what? Dharmaraj. And he's Dharmaraj, and he's Krishna conscious. In other words, he's extremely Krishna conscious. So he's qualified to be the king. So if that's the qualification of the king, in addition to all the other material qualifications of being good in politics, diplomacy, and understanding rule and administration, they need to be Krishna conscious. That's the number one qualification. If they're not Krishna conscious, then they will be misdirected. So even today we see there are many good leaders out there, but because they are not Krishna conscious or God conscious, all the policies they are making are straying people away from the goal of life. And in fact, all the policies they are putting in place, though they might have the best of intentions, are creating so many other problems. So the previous president of the United States was actually quite a good guy, but due to a lack of Krishna consciousness, their policies are no good. So the other duties of a king are, as we know, is to offer protection, right? That's the other duty of the executive head. So is to offer protection in terms of protection from lust, from people, again that ties to Krishna consciousness, but also offer protection from crime and all sorts of other issues. So these are the other duties of a king. A kshatriya means to offer, to protect, right? That's what a kshatriya is to protect. So they need to protect people from thieves and rogues and dacoits. And in the previous chapters we saw Maharaj Vena was enthroned, though he was not Krishna conscious, because they didn't have anybody else. They put him in place so he can keep all the rogues and thieves in check. And that's the other duty of a king or an executive head, to offer protection. And then to also engage people according to their occupation. Make sure nobody is unemployed. Right? So, and the way they were doing it was engaging people according to their varna. So according to their varna, people were engaged, or according to their occupation, whether they're Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So they had systems in place and ministries in place where these things were going on. So now, I think 7 days from now, we have the elections coming up, the state elections coming up, and every party has their agenda, right? So the Liberal National Party, the ALP, the Greens, and the various independents, they have their agenda. But if we analyze the agenda, you won't find any mention of spiritual development as one of the key points. So you'll find everything else there. There is mention of reducing crime, building more prisons,
Education,
health is on the agenda. What else? The environment, right? Green energy, that's very much coal, that's on the agenda, phasing out coal, and so many other things are on the agenda, but there is no mention of Krishna consciousness. Or Krishna consciousness doesn't have to be mentioned, because we are living in a very diverse world. not everyone is going to take up to Krishna consciousness, but the principles need to be there. The principles are universal, they are not there. So there is no mention of development of character. It's mainly around, the whole agenda is centered around economic development. Right? Creation, jobs, creation of jobs. And that is over anything else. But because there is no God consciousness mentioned, ultimately it will be a failure, whoever gets elected. The people won't be happy. Why? Because people are not striving towards the Brahma Bhuta platform, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here. Because the duty of an executive head is to bring people closer to the Brahma Bhuta platform. So Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na sochati na kamshati. So, and as Prabhupada mentions here, that in the Brahma Bhuta platform, one is above any hankering and lamentation. So if people are Krishna conscious, or a bit Krishna conscious, if the population starts to become Krishna conscious, then naturally governance becomes very easy. It's much more easier if people are Krishna conscious to govern them, because they won't have so many problems. If people are much more Krishna conscious, then their wants will reduce. They might not go away, but they will certainly reduce. They will come closer to their needs. They will be able to see what they separate their needs from their wants. People will have the ability to do that. They won't be absorbed in consumerism when people are a bit more Krishna conscious. At least they will theoretically understand that we are not the body. And a lot of people will begin to see, will begin to rise above the bodily concept of life. Even if it doesn't happen fully, but a lot of people, there will be a change in consciousness. And so many problems will disappear from the face of the earth, which are nations fighting with each other, or you know, various groups not getting along with each other. At least they will begin to understand that. People will understand that also animals are also have a spirit soul, and we should not eat them. So a lot of people will start to become vegetarian. And naturally they will give up intoxication, start to give up intoxication and illicit sex and gambling, because they're getting a higher pleasure and they can give up these lower activities. So, but because there is no God consciousness on the agenda of the government, so no matter, despite their best intentions to solve the problems, they will simply increase, and the people will not be happy. Right, and people, when they're not happy with one government, then they vote in and put in the other government. Then they're not happy with them, then the other one comes in. And then when they're not happy with both the major parties, then they put the independents in. So then even they won't be happy with them, because neither of them know that what we need, because they have a wrong idea of a person. They're thinking that we are simply this body. That's their understanding of who we are. We are simply the body. So the understanding of a materialist person is that the prime aim of life is to enjoy as much as you can before you die. So all their policies are geared towards that. And if they don't make those policies, they will be kicked out. They know that very well. And people are demanding that. Right? And people want jobs, because with artha comes kama. Right? So artha is needed before kama, for sense gratification. And here, Maharaj Prithu, he's setting the example by inquiring from Sanat Kumar, who is one of the four Kumaras, and they are Shaktyavesh avatars, the Kumaras. So he's inquiring from them how to be transcendentally blissful. Right? So So the goal of life is to come to the Brahman platform, and this responsibility now more or less lies with ISKCON. And that's where ISKCON comes in. So Prabhupada started this movement to propagate God consciousness widely. So there is a shift in human, there's a shift in consciousness of the people. So that's the whole purpose of ISKCON, is to teach people to be Krishna conscious. And it is, ISKCON is an evangelic movement, right? It is not a bhajanamandi movement. It is an evangelic movement, meaning meant to propagate the principles of God consciousness. And those principles are clearly stated in the charter of ISKCON, or the constitution of ISKCON, the seven purposes. Prabhupada makes it very clear. Whereas we see in the government, in the constitution sits above the judiciary, the executive, and the legislative powers, right? So the, and in the constitution, there's no mention of this. In fact, the constitution is secular. So of course, the constitution cannot be like, you know, some people are saying we need to enforce Sharia law, this archaic, barbaric system. You can't, you know, enforce that in the constitution. They need to put the principles in place rather than follow a certain way of life. So that's the job of ISKCON. So just to sum up today's Srimad Bhagavatam class, we spoke about King Indra, how he was trying to steal the horse, the sacrificial horse, and how King Indra started all the fake gurus, and the qualification of a guru. We also spoke about the qualifications of a spiritual master and the importance of accepting a spiritual master, as well as spoke about the executive head. The duty of an executive head is to be Krishna conscious themselves and to propagate Krishna consciousness. And we spoke the various duties of an executive head, now being Krishna, to spread Krishna consciousness, to offer protection, and all the other functions which they are doing. So with that, I'll end here. See if you have any comments or questions on today's verses.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Yes, Prabhupada.
Now, in spite of all the material advancement, people are not at all happy.
Yeah.
So why they are not interested in this Krishna consciousness or God consciousness? Why they are not? It's because of the Kali Yuga, impact of Kali Yuga, or why they are not interested?
Because they don't know. Because we're not out there.
Oh.
Yeah, so we need to be out there more so people can be interested. Recently I tagged along with His Holiness Devamrita Swami to a program at Melbourne University. And there, 120, 140 people came, and they heard the talk. And these are people who have no idea, as you just mentioned. They have no idea, but they listen very attentively, and they ask. They were inquisitive, and they asked questions. And as I was driving Maharaj back to his residence, he commented that, look, people are interested. We need to be out there more. But he said, I just made a simple presentation, and was simple but very powerful. He made a simple, powerful presentation, and people, they asked all these questions, and people came. So the topic was just event happiness, and people came. So yeah, one reason they're not interested is we are not out there enough. And another reason people are not interested is because of they've seen how religion has let them down in general. So this, you know, the Royal Commission into institutional child sexual abuse, where they probed all the churches and so much, you know, that religion has basically abused their power. and so many fake gurus. So they've lost faith in the system, and that's another reason they're not interested. But we need to be out there more also. That's the main thing. And also the on a deeper level, people are not interested because that's why we're in the material world, to forget Krishna. But if presented in the right way, then it can, we can spark their interest. Mahatma Prabhuji.
As you said, just by comment.
Yes.
That as Krishna says, Anyaschintyantoma, ye jana paripaste, teshaam nithi bhirtanam, yogkshemam vayamam. That yogkshemam is most important. Merciful protection by Krishna.
Yeah.
Whatever you have got, we preserve, and whatever we need to give.
Yes.
It's all a promise.
Yeah.
Most confidential knowledge. That's why what you are saying. Okay. Bhagavad Gita has to be presented to everybody, and even presented by Gita Prabhupada as it is.
Yeah.
Then people will understand our point, and teaching can really go fast.
Sure. Thank you. Yes.
Thanks for mentioning that point.
Very important point. Yes, that's another reason, because to accept Krishna consciousness, one needs to have Sukriti or Agyata Sukriti, and that comes from rendering devotional service. And the way people render is by indirectly participating through through partaking prasadam and hearing the holy name. It's one of the means. Thank you. Anything else? Any other point? No? Okay. So, if no, yes?
Just terminated to last month. She's saying all of the meaning with Krishna Sukriti and the pious.
Would the meat eating reduce from?
Would that reduce the pious kind of sending that they have in Sukriti? All of the eating?
Can you elaborate on this?
Yeah, yeah. Her question is, if you know, people are getting Agyata Sukriti in the form of, if I've understood you correctly, through hearing the holy name and taking prasadam, but at the same time they're consuming meat, will that nullify their Agyata Sukriti?
Or not have it there in the first place.
Or not have it there in the first place, yeah. The principle is, whatever devotional service one does is permanent. So consuming prasadam and hearing the holy name, the effects of that are permanent. So that Agyata Sukriti won't go away. It will, in fact, it will accumulate and it will grow from there. As far as having meat, yes, that does make it difficult to take up Krishna consciousness, because the heart gets very hard. And for those who are vegetarian or who are mostly vegetarian, it's easier to take up to Krishna consciousness. But by partaking in Krishna consciousness in the form of those activities, they will gradually, and one will overcome one's conditioned nature. Okay. Thank you. Does that answer? Yeah. Okay, great. All right, we'll end here. Thank you for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.